How can a hypnotherapist and intuitive counselor help you have a better relationship? We'll find out on this edition of Frank Relationships.
You're listening to Frank Relationships with Frank Love.
Frank Love.
Frank Love.
Frank Love.
Frank Love.
Yes, as always, those are my babies. Thanks for getting daddy started today. Mwah. Certified hypnotherapist and intuitive counselor Cynthia Chauvin Miles is with us. And I'm curious, is hypnosis more entertaining or is it an actual modality?
It's both. It can be used for entertainment, as you've seen on stage shows, and it's definitely, absolutely therapeutic as well. It's an ability to access your resources and change behavior patterns that no longer suit your sensibilities or your ability to enjoy life.
And what the heck is hypnosis? Like, I have no idea.
Oh, it's fun. It's actually a natural state of being. We do it every day.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to the movies and you're sitting there and somebody next to you has a popcorn box as big as their head, and they're eating it, and you don't recognize that they're there,
mm-hmm.
you're in hypnosis. The
mm-hmm.
the movie has put you in a form of hypnosis. There's different forms, there's different layers, but that is hypnosis. Right before you go to sleep, while you're falling asleep, that's a suggestible pattern, and that is hypnosis.
Is it kind of like just being on autopilot when the things that we do and allow around us without really paying attention to it?
More or less, when we're totally engaged in the activity that's going on, whether it's reading a book, watching television, watching a movie, when you totally engage. Now, that is a light form of hypnosis.
Mm-hmm.
There are deeper forms of hypnosis, a hypnagogic state, which you won't remember what's going on, and it's non-active, but I like to call that a supercharge when you go in really, really deep. And after you're comfortable with the person that you're working with or you're doing it, you know, self-hypnosis, that you can go into a trance state and have a real deep download, whereas the other one's a little bit lighter, but they all work.
Distinguish for us, Cynthia, the difference between trance and hypnosis.
Well, trance is a deeper state of theta. It's almost like a delta state, which is a sleep state, but you're not asleep. You'll find that when you do a deep trance hypnosis, more than likely your body won't move. You just go out, you come back, you're laying in the exact same position that you were or sitting in the exact same position, but your mind is blank. It's like almost as if you had a deep, deep, deep sleep, but it's not sleep. It's an altered state. So it's between sleep and theta, which is a lighter form of hypnosis. That's the one that kids are in all the time, by the way.
When
kids from 0 to 7 are in theta all the time.
Mm.
Programming, programming, programming.
Mm. Wow. All right. That's why my 6-year-old is the way she is.
Uh-huh. You know, you can talk to them, and, you know, they totally ignore you, and it's like
yes.
you're not even in the room.
Yes.
They're entranced by what they're looking at. They're entranced by what they're learning. They're in a hyper state of learning. And basically, that's what hypnosis truly is a hyper state of programming and learning.
Mm. What state, or could you describe the state? Because delta, theta, that doesn't quite mean that, you know. But
delta is sleep.
Okay.
Theta is what children are in, where you're kind of mesmerized by your environment and you get intrigued or connected to, like, the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a theta state. And then there's alpha and beta, and alpha is a little bit lighter than theta and delta. Sleep. Then we go to beta, which is online, meaning that you're no longer programming; you're involved with your circumstances and surroundings.
Hmm. Okay. What? And so, George Jefferson, when he was on the Jeffersons, did you know he got hypnotized? None of y'all probably have any idea what I'm talking about. but I'm gonna put it out there anyway. Well, he got hypnotized and he started walking around like a zombie or doing. It's been 30 years since I've seen that episode, but do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh yeah. That's more of a stage hypnosis. And really, you can't get anybody to do anything they don't really want to do. So when you see people on stage, basically the hypnosis lifts their inhibitions, and they wanted to be on stage, and they wanted to cluck like a chicken, or they wanted to walk around like a zombie, or they wanted to pole dance if you're in Las Vegas, you know? And I have been trained on stage hypnosis just out of curiosity to see what the difference was, to see, you know, what's the difference between the therapeutic application of hypnosis and the stage hypnosis. And basically, it pretty much works the same way. It's just a motive that's different. One is to release your inhibitions in a public arena for fun, and the other one is to release your inhibitions on a personal level so you can go out and have a better life.
Mm-hmm. Given that you guys share the same field, you probably know who Flip Orley is?
Sure do.
I've never seen his stuff, but, I mean, could you tell me a little bit about it?
Well, he's a stage hypnosis practitioner. I don't know if he does any clinical work whatsoever, but basically he does just like they do in Las Vegas, which is they call volunteers onto the stage. They test them to see if they're actually really going into hypnosis or are they faking it. And there's several ways to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then he calls upon each one to do a particular act, if you would. One dance, one sing, one argue, one gets up and is outraged at every time somebody says their name. And it's quite entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is very entertaining. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed studying it. It's just not my expertise. I prefer to use it. I think everybody needs entertainment. But I also know that everybody has a program that needs to be changed inside of them.
Mm-hmm.
And if entertainment gets them interested in the thoughts of what could happen when one is in hypnosis, great. It's like anything else, anything that wakens the sleeper within.
Interesting.
Mm.
Welcome to Frank Relationships, a show for you, my brethren, who, like me, are too young to be considered old and too old to be considered young. It's also for those of you who love and support us. We're here to provide weekly wisdom, conversation, and the information that'll help create loving and flexible parents and partners.
Amen.
I'm Frank Love, and you can find me, my blog, and my various social media incarnations at franklove.com. If you're listening to the show on Blog Talk Radio, please follow us, and then via iTunes, please subscribe so that you can effortlessly get the show each week. Also, if you're enjoying the show, and of course you are, please give us a favorable iTunes rating and please share it with your family and friends on your favorite social media platform. We're always looking for new social media friends, so please help us help our communities by spreading the word about the show. Greetings to my super duper co-host, Nancy Goldring.
Hi, Frank.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm great.
The consummate generalist is in the house.
Indeed.
To our guest, Cynthia, I want you to know, just she is the consummate generalist. Okay, so if you hear that ever again in life, you'll know exactly the person that we're talking about.
Okay. Do you want to be more specific?
No.
We can help you with that.
But,
you know, generalization is oftentimes an avoidance of having one's own opinion, not trying to be rude in any way, shape, or form, but it keeps you in the safe zone.
Mm.
Hmm.
She's so delightful, Cynthia, that she can receive that with a smile.
Yeah, well, I'm looking at it.
All right.
I may be a consummate something else after the first of the year.
Raise a question as to why we have the habits that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, before...
Because every habit has positive intent, including generalizations.
Yeah.
For me, it's more about... consummate generalist is more about being curious and interested in many, many things.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily not having an opinion about any of those things.
She has strong opinions, I'll tell you that. Whether she expresses them on or off of the show,
right.
I do get wind of them periodically.
That's good.
That is good.
Without an opinion, you know, have a start place for exploration.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Before we get too deep into today's subject matter, I want to check in, see what's going on in the news. Miss Nancy, you got anything for us? Mm-hmm. Actually, you told me. 20 surefire signs your partner loves you.
Loves you.
Okay.
Yes.
Let me see. What's a surefire sign that my wife loves me? Or maybe she doesn't. So I wouldn't know.
She's a bit of an addict where you're concerned.
Okay. What does that mean?
She's meaning, you know, people are just like, oh, Frank, or, you know,
but she's not
gotta
the only
be
one
around
like
you.
I mean, you're like that.
Oh, my gosh. For the purposes of the show.
Sure. That's what you need to get the show
to justify,
going.
To justify my petite addiction. Okay. He'll give me that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, they're crazy. You're what's happening in their world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, she's what's happening in my world.
Well,
I give her that.
There you go.
We don't have to just look at it she to me. We can look at it from me to she.
Mercy.
Okay, what else you got?
19, they run to your rescue whenever you need it.
They run to your rescue.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Would I run to my wife's rescue? I guess that's
I believe that would be wise.
Yeah, I believe that's basically true. Yeah, I definitely.
I believe you better not go home if you don't.
Yeah.
I can answer in the affirmative to that.
There you go.
Babe, you need me if you're listening to the show. I'll
just
be right there.
Cut it off. They want your opinion when it comes to making decisions is another one.
I'm going to leave that one alone.
Ah.
But it's funny. We just had a conversation about this last night. She's working on an application for school. She's going to be doing her EDD.
Oh, nice.
And the question she would ask me what I thought about her response, and my feedback was so different than what she wanted, was prepared to hear. And it's not bad or good. It was just very different. And so we ended up at times we end up just missing each other of regarding that feedback. It was like my feedback wasn't in the realm of what she was looking for, but yet I felt it was valuable, and I couldn't really get my head around what the value, the feedback that she wanted, what kind of feedback she wanted. So it was like we was just,
passing in the night.
Yeah. I don't know what to tell you anymore.
Suggestion on that is to add curiosity to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just start off, okay, I'm curious. What does this mean to you?
Mm-hmm.
An exploratory conversation with an opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And did you think about this? Or, you know, to get a positive space and hold in high regard your partner at the moment of communication, of exploration.
Mm.
So instead of opinion, perhaps it might be a exploratory word. There you go. You like that word, exploration.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I guess we'd be exploring together.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So you give your opinion, and she gives her opinion. And then together, you probably come up with a third opinion.
Yeah. And hopefully a essay that's going to get her into her program.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You got anything else, Nancy?
Yeah,
there
funny.
Was 20 of them. So.
Yeah, it's funny. The next one actually piggybacks on what you were just saying, that your views aren't necessarily the same as one another's.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay.
You
don't need to be agreed with. You know, you don't need to agree with them. Another one is that they're checking you out all the time in a good way.
I do that. Absolutely.
See that?
Absolutely.
Got some fires burning there.
I may even pat her on her head every once in a while.
Scary.
That was the radio-friendly version.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Another is that they really have your back.
Yeah.
Really,
we can go there easily.
Yes. And another sign is that they spend all their time with you. not all, but, you know.
A healthy amount,
their
absolutely.
Discretionary time, right?
You know, we have, I've made a mention this on the show before, but we have room dates where we got to straighten up our room.
Yes.
So we just, that's the date for the night. Put in a DVD in the bedroom.
I think that's charming.
Honey, tell the kids to go fly a kite and, you know, or go to bed.
Scram.
Yeah. And then just do a room date.
Nice, 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 nice. Oh, another one is that you're genuinely yourself around them.
True.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. another one.
No fakers.
No fakers, yep. Exactly.
Can't hide.
And that you, you know, they want to go bungee jumping with you. They want to be in the adventure of life with you.
And two different ways of responding to that. We've actually gone skydiving together.
Really?
Yes.
How was it?
She said that she has never looked in my face and seen fear before.
You mean until that moment?
Until that moment,
really?
Yeah.
Really?
She said I looked like I was.
Honey, it's over.
Did you do it out of a plane, or did you do one of those sky jumps in the building?
It was very much out of a plane.
Out of a plane. Mm. Right. Oh, I have no desire to leave a plane that's flying. Uh-uh.
Airborne.
And I kind of agree with what you're talking about, but there's certain things that my husband does that there is no way in hell I'm ever going to do, such as get in the water with the fish, and go under the water and look at the fish. I'm sorry, that's their home. I don't invade it.
You're not invading their space.
No, I'm not invading their space. Love you, darling. Do anything else with you, but I'm not going in that water.
See?
What about outer space? If you had the opportunity to go into outer space, would you? How about you? What about you, Cynthia?
Oh, in a heartbeat, as long as you don't have to lay in one of those little time capsule-looking like things.
Yeah.
Okay. Outside of that,
speed. Yes.
Yeah.
You would go?
Yes.
Tonight, Eddie.
Seriously?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Jeff?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you have no interest?
I have no interest in going into space. Like, there's nothing.
Maybe that's like the water for you.
Yeah.
The
that she described.
Hole,
she doesn't
yours,
want
right?
scuba.
No part of me is curious about going to space.
Is it? It's not fear. It's just you. Just indignant.
Not interested.
Yeah, I just not interested. Okay. I'm good on Earth.
Well, I don't want to live up there. I would visit.
And I don't. I guess not. I wouldn't want to go to Atlantis either.
You're just not, you're curious, but not about other exterior worlds. This one's sufficient for you.
There's a part of me, when people say, get this is strange, but I don't even consider myself going on vacation when I go somewhere else. Because I'm just going somewhere else. I'm good with my life here. I don't need a vacation from it.
Oh, I see what you mean.
So
I see what you mean.
I kind of like.
But going to space for me wouldn't be like that. I don't feel like I've only had a handful of times when I felt like I was on vacation. And one of those times, I didn't even enjoy it, really.
Yeah, I can understand that.
But the space thing, totally different ballgame to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just weird. I bet everybody
Maybe
listening would say
believe
that they,
me, I think there are people who would be absolutely in your camp. I know people that aren't even interested in traveling, which is unconscionable to me.
I travel so much.
Yeah,
ridiculous. So I can't go there. But, yeah. Oh, well. All right.
We can do hypnosis for them.
Yeah.
Tune in, people.
It's exploration.
Yes, exploration.
I mean, it's no different exploring your mind or exploring your environment. You're still exploring an expression of yourself.
Yeah.
And particularly to go and travel and connect to other humans, you know, that are so totally, completely the same and different at the same time.
Mm. So now I'm assuming, quite correctly, I'm sure, that hypnosis has come a long way from just helping people quit smoking.
Oh, absolutely.
And those kinds of mundane things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it always has. It's just been kind of closeted, so it's coming more mainstream, you know, which is why our company, National Hypnosis, is putting out products that you can use in your home, and you don't even have to, you know, go to a hypnotherapist. That'll create great change. And there have been lots of those out for a long time. But the difference is that they always stress the behavior and not the individual, not what, again, everything has a positive intent to it. So when you're addressing a behavior that you want to stop, if you address the behavior will fight you. It'll keep coming back and back and back because it has some contribution to the ecosystem that's you. So you can't change the behavior. You can get down to the root of why you have the behavior, satisfy that need, and the behavior organically changes on its own.
Mm-hmm. Well, on that note, we're going to introduce you. Today's guest is a certified hypnotherapist and intuitive counselor. She specializes in helping men and women have better relationships. She's the author of multiple books, and of note is the relationship book, The 10 Ways, A Guide to the 21st Century Relationship. It's a 10-step prescription to a better relationship. She emphasizes owning one's personal behavior through finding the divine in oneself. So, if you, like me, want to know, can hypnosis be used to quit smoking or other addictions? And according to Nancy's question, it can. If you want to know what the heck an intuitive counselor is, because it certainly sounds like a prerequisite for being a spouse. And
everybody's intuitive.
Yes, and you better be.
It's just that mine's homed in a little more.
Mm-hmm. And what about the dynamic of working with a spouse? How exactly does that play out? I understand that that touches on what you and your husband do to our wonderful guests. You want to know this information and much more, then please join me as your Frank Relationship team talks with hypnotherapist and intuitive counselor, Cynthia Chauvin Miles. Welcome to the show. Hello?
Yes.
Oh. You're like, you
welcome.
She's
hypnotized.
You're like, you
welcomed
me a long time.
Working with my husband works quite well because of the differences. Mm-hmm. And because we respect those differences, it's very seldom. We have a great deal of commonality, but different tool sets to get to that commonality. So it's a good prescription for working together.
What's an intuitive counselor?
Well, basically, you know, I am psychic, but I use it for a counseling purpose. So I don't look to see. Yes, everybody has a future, but it's not a finite future. It's always moving. It's always changing. Mm-hmm. You're interacting with your lines of energy and information and making decisions, and free will comes into play. And I look at it as a resource just like Google. You know, if you were going to buy a car, you're going to go on Google and find out if it's the safest car, the best price. And so I use my information that downloads, which is just information. And it's natural to me. I was born into it and then had some experiences that enhanced it, which one of them was hypnosis, mm-hmm. by the way, which also releases everybody's attributes, whatever they may be. You can enhance those attributes. So I use it for research. So if somebody comes to me and they're looking to figure out what's going on in their lives, we look forward and like a GPS, avoid what you need to avoid, enhance what you need to enhance, and give the tools to change what's not working anymore. But again, with respect to the ecosystem of the individual, which doesn't want to change mm-hmm, mm-hmm. because it has survived.
Mm. How'd you find out that you had a gift?
Actually, quite young. I guess I was about 4 or 5, but I didn't know what it was at the time. And then throughout life, I kept on, you know, getting information here, there, and elsewhere. And then I had a near-death experience. And then I went into hypnosis to deal with the near-death experience, and it just kind of exploded from there. My life changed from, you know, a I was a franchise owner of a donut shop.
Wow.
I had two of them. I had 44 employees, and we're open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I sold all that and started doing hypnotherapy and intuitive counseling. Mm. So it really changed my, hypnosis really changed my life.
Yeah.
I have a dynamic that persists, and it's, I think of people.
Okay.
And then I see them like a few days later.
Yeah. Okay.
What's up with that? Do I have
you?
A deal?
That's your intuition. That's really? Your intuition. We're all like radar. I mean, you know, we all pick up, if you, you know, pick up each other's vibes. We all pick up each other's energies. Wavelengths of information go out from every person's mind all day long. And when you're somewhat connected to someone, you plug into it every now and then, and that's intuition.
Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about Nancy. Like, like, no, I think of her
call
and
me.
We, and then I know I'm going to see her at the station. I'm talking about people I haven't seen in 30 years.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But they're still connected.
Yeah,
those vibrations still are. We don't end connections. We add more connections.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're all information centers, and once we've made a connection to an individual. You know, it stays connected unless you deliberately unplug the connection.
Wow.
Deliberately unplug the connection.
Correct, because sometimes in some relationships, you've...
got to cut them off.
Yeah, exactly. Well, but literally, you know what, unplug them. You got to become unplugged from the connection, the electrical information data bank that goes back and forth between the two.
I think what I'm thinking about right now, I wasn't when I first said that, but now I'm remembering a friend of mine was recounting an incident from years ago in our friendship, and she says, don't you remember?
You made her mad.
No. We were laughing about it. She says, oh, my goodness. She says, I remember JR. He was going to let you use his truck and do something. And I was like, who's JR? She's like, oh, my goodness, you don't remember
that
him?
That was your boo.
He totally was not my boo. And she's like, you mean to tell me this guy, you were like a perfect stranger. This guy was going to let you use his truck and, you know, you were going to do something. And she says, you don't remember him? I said, I do not remember him.
So he was really.
So I'm looking at that in terms of Cynthia saying that you have connections and you're just getting more connections. And then this disconnecting or unplugging from people. Now,
remember,
later, I'm sorry?
Remember, she's remembering.
She's
and
remembering.
Remember,
and later, I thought about it, and I remembered him, but I don't remember this dynamic of him being willing to let me use his truck.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember that.
Well, whenever we remember, we're reassociating everything once again in our minds, so no remembering. Even though we think we got memories like elephants, especially women. And, you know, we can quote what color dress we had on. Mm-hmm. We still are remembering, which means that we're putting everything back together,
which is
why police officers and emergency people, when they come in to get information, want the information right then before you even leave the scene, because they know if you're gone for an hour or two, you're going to remember, and that means you're putting it back together. And every time you put it back together, there's a slight nuance that's different.
Wow. That's real.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, okay. Can hypnosis actually be used to quit an addiction or to end an addiction? You pretty much answered this already.
Oh yeah. It can work on OCD.
Mm-hmm.
It can work on addictions. But again, remember, even addictions have a positive intent.
Yeah. Okay.
So that just means that you're going to get a little resistance from the thing you're trying to let go of.
Not when you work with the positive intent, but you're correct. You'll get resistance. If you work with the addiction itself, you're going to get resistance because it has a positive intent.
Okay.
But if you work with the part of itself that created the addiction as an ability to survive, then you'll have a different outcome because the behavior no longer needs to be expressed.
Mm-hmm.
Can you be addicted to hypnosis?
I am.
<It's> just,
Can you do too much of it? I've been pretty spacey sometimes.
That's actually a serious question. If it's doing so much good for someone, just like
would
acupuncture, I mean, I want
to
keep going.
It. Yeah.
Well, just like you can get addicted to prayer, you can get addicted to meditation, because when you go out and you work with it and you come back and you have answers and you see change, yeah, you can get addicted to learning. You know, it's exploration, it's discovery. Some people aren't interested in discovering. Those that aren't interested in discovering don't look. Mm-hmm. But those that are discoverers, and this is the discovery of your own divinity, your own connection to your behaviors, your own connection to your own thoughts and feelings and emotions and why they're there and how they work. It's the greatest discovery that you can participate in, even greater than going to space, because you're going to inner space.
Hmm. How do people generally find hypnosis? I mean, or
what and drives them to go?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And is it the same?
Usually when they tried everything else and nothing else works. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But we like to move it up the scale to where, you know, it's more of one of the first things they try instead of the last things they try. Or they try along with. So the people that I get, such as I had a little girl that came to me through her mom. She was 14, and they're getting ready to put her on, some kind of drug for depression. And right before they were getting ready to put her on a drug for depression, they brought it to me. Mm-hmm. And within three sessions, she went to the prom.
Nice.
This is a kid that wouldn't move out of her room.
Wow. And so what did you do?
So it was the last, I wanted to find out what was the positive intent of her depression.
What was it?
Well, basically, she started criticizing herself about being down, and it started building on itself. She didn't realize depression is part of everyday circumstances. We get depressed just for some point in time in our lives. And when depression goes on for a long period of time and it's not chemically induced, in other words, like your brain is wired for depression, it's hardwired for depression, it's stuck in a period. It's mm-hmm. stuck. And that elongation tends to criticize itself. Why can't you do this? Why can't? Once she kind of understood that it's just a slower, she was going through emotions that are normal, but at a slower period in some areas. And we came up with some physical things that she could do, such as breathe, which is very simple, but most people that are depressed only breathe very shallow in the upper part of their lungs. They don't deep breathe. Mm-hmm. It oxygenates the body, and it puts off the serotonin in the brain. So once we had her with a couple of things that she could do in her own environment, she started taking control of her environment, and then she started taking control of her inner environment. And then three times she went to the prom.
What?
And now she doesn't look at herself and gets depressed about being depressed.
Mm-hmm. What you're calling positive intent, it reminds me of my concept around everything we do because it benefits us. Even if
it seems negative?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's something we're getting out of it.
Yes,
so
sir.
When I think of what you're saying about positive intent, it reminds me of my own belief.
Yes, sir. That's why we constructed it, for our own survival.
Yeah, yeah.
You try to take out those survival mechanisms, they'll bite your mm-hmm. buns.
Mm-hmm. And with your husband and you doing different work in the same realm, how have you all constructed your environment, or let's say your relationship, so that you don't step on each other's toes? Do you have different responsibilities, different areas or treatments? And, you know, and I guess talk a little bit about your husband. So please introduce us to him.
Called respect. I respect his contributions, no matter what they are, even if they're different, even if they're totally completely different than mine, because I look at it as an opportunity to find expansion versus defend my territory. You know, do you have something that I'm not seeing? Is there something on my back that I'm not looking at? You know, do you have a perception about my behavior that I don't see? That's on a personal level. On a work level, it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I respect his knowledge. I respect his intuition. I respect him as an individual, and I hold him in high regard. Now, that's not to say we don't butt heads, but usually it's over the language, not the information itself, but the delivery of the information. Mm-hmm. And that's when we have to sit back and go, okay, what's the commonality of this theme? Because we're arguing because I'm speaking in Spanish and you're speaking in French, but we're saying the same thing.
Right.
Are there any, when you're...
And he's highly developed in areas that I'm not, such as he's a highly developed editor, producer, writer, and, you know, I write the scripts, and he does the production, and sometimes he writes the scripts, and then we both do the production. So there are areas of expertise that I have that he doesn't, and vice versa, and it makes it easier because, you know, four hands are better than two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Are there any negatives associated with hypnosis? Or are there
Tons.
Any that we should really think about if we're considering hypnosis?
Yeah, because you don't want to program against your survival techniques. You want to get down to what was the positive intent of the behavior to begin with, or what was the positive intent of the argument.
But how
what
do
you
know
trying
when you're
to
doing
defend?
That?
What is it that makes you, what triggers you? Why does it trigger you? Where does it trigger you? And does it still work for you? You know? So the negative is if you go in and you try to beat up the behavior, you may get change in one area. You may stop smoking, but you'll pick up another behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Another addiction.
Yeah, you know, exactly. And then we're always being hypnotized. All the time. We're hypnotized by our parents when we're coming up. So if we hear a lot of derogatory statements, that's a negative form of hypnosis in my mind, you know, because there you're programming, you're not good enough, you're not tall enough, you're not smart enough, whatever it is, you're not a nada, nada, nada. So you have, that's a derogatory side of hypnosis. We're very open as children to suggestion. And what we suggest to our children is taken globally because they don't have a sense of time. That's why Christmas is like forever away when it's 2 days away.
Right.
So they globalize it through their life, and they don't take it about this one experience or this one test or this one moment. So we have to be careful when we're talking to them that it's about this behavior, this time is inappropriate in this place, and put it into a perspective that they can digest and not globalize.
But you,
so those are all forms of negative hypnosis. Plus, the media does it all the time. Look at the news. That's negative hypnosis. You're sitting there mesmerized by the next tragic event.
Right.
Not that we shouldn't be informed.
Are we less receptive, Cynthia, as we get older?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's when, after the age of 12 and 13, after puberty, we go into hardwiring, beta state, which means that we're using what we have. Those are our tools. That's how we will design our life in the world. You know, not that we don't learn things consciously, but our subconscious survival patterns are set.
Is there a realm of hypnosis that is important for relationships, and is there like a take-home message that you would give us, me, Nancy, the audience, around relationships and possibly hypnosis?
Well, when you go into a relationship, your subconscious is meeting their subconscious. So your issues are triggered by their issues. It's inevitable, and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an opportunity to bring it up and work with it constructively versus to find the differences in them.
Mm-hmm.
So hypnosis can aid in relationships because you're being self-responsible. You're going into yourself and going, okay, is this really about this person that's sitting in front of me? We time lapse in relationships. We go back in time and we hear our moms and we hear our dads and we hear our teachers. Even if we don't consciously hear them. They're our subconscious motivators and triggers for our arguments. And once we get a hold of, wow, it can't be about this person. They weren't there when I was seven.
Right.
We start having a curiosity that comes into a relationship, which is essential, which means I don't know what you're saying.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to assume. I'm going to ask.
Mm-hmm. And we'll discover together and create something new.
Correctamundo.
That's interesting. Certified hypnotherapist and intuitive counselor Cynthia Chauvin Miles is with us today. Cynthia, would you tell us what you're up to and how we can find you?
Sure. We're nationalhypnosis.com. And also Cynthia Chauvin, CHAUVIN.com. And the telephone number is 703-948-0619. We're producing right now what I call swim lanes, and that's probably from a lot of work in the government with a lot of government contractors. But it's our intent to bring together information on particular subjects that people are working with, whether that is, you know, problems at work or problems in a relationship or phobias or physical situations that they're trying to overcome, a group of products that address that one subject so that they can kind of go in and say, okay, my particular subject is I want to lose weight. Well, weight is not necessarily the actual weight itself. It's the emotional content that we deal with. But a line of products that take them from the beginning to resolution.
Mm-hmm. Men or women, which is more open to hypnosis? And I know I know what you're going to say. You're going to say men because men are just more open.
Oh,
they're just more open-minded. And
oh, my goodness. Oh, my gosh. Reel him back
in. Actually, for whatever reason, I track both.
Okay.
I track kids. I track women. I track men.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is that they find me and want to work with me, so it's I don't have a problem. They're both open. They're both very open. I like working with a lot of them. I like working with men. I like working with women, and I like working with kids.
So how does this work? How does your work work in relationships? So do couples come in and say, you know, I
absolutely
can't take him anymore? And
yes, ma'am.
Okay.
My co-host is driving me crazy.
Enough is enough. Yeah. Wait till the new year comes. Pow, right?
Well, yeah. Well, what I do is I go in and I show them that the behavior that they're looking at and pointing fingers at is really stemming from other issues, and suggest that first they work individually and then they come together and bridge the language gap between the two of them.
Do you,
so yes, I've worked very successfully with couples.
Do you hypnotize
either ending
them together?
A relationship,
really ending a relationship,
or keeping it?
Okay.
So what would you say to someone who is ending a relationship? How would you help them?
When they reach a point of disdain with one another, it's very hard to give tools.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard for, or if one individual doesn't want to work on themselves,
mm-hmm.
forget it.
Mm-hmm.
It takes both individuals working on themselves. One person comes in and says, they're the problem. Uh-uh. No way, Jose. Go away. You ain't going to work.
You hear that,
so,
right?
You know, when both people come in and say, look, we don't know what's going on, but we want to straighten this out. I'm going to work on me. She's going to work on her, or he and he, or she and she, or, pardon me, whatever the dynamics are, then you got groundwork. And then you start teaching. You give them tools. You know, you give them things to do, like Take 10, which is a book that we have out on relationships, which it's no different than giving a child, you know, go in the corner for 10 minutes and think about what you did.
Mm-hmm.
Well, go in the corner and reprogram yourself. Here's mm-hmm. a little statement. Here's a little thing to think about to get the energy disconnected from the road you were going down.
Yeah.
Now you can have a different perspective because you stopped it. It's like Viktor Frankl's statement about in the moment is the ability to change.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon me. And in that ability to change, rest your freedom.
Hmm.
And of course, it's paraphrasing. His statement is much more beautiful.
I can think of a relationship that I was in where it felt like there was only one of us that was willing to do something different. Like, really, and that was me. Just in case you were
watching.
Well, at least you're honest.
Right?
She had reached a point of contempt, I'm sure.
It was deep. It was deep.
Really?
And still, when I see her today, I see like the same thing going on. It's sad to watch it. It really is. Mm. And then there's like a recurrent, or you could still see an anger towards me.
Sure.
And it's just like, I'm glad I'm not there anymore.
Right.
I'm very happy I'm done with that relationship. I'm glad it went where it went.
Died.
Yeah. and it's over. And it's over in that capacity.
But Cynthia, it sounds like, possibly anyway, a person who is unwilling to do their own work or work on themselves, that's a kind of survival mechanism also.
So absolutely. I can attest to that.
Yeah. Yep.
Absolutely. Yes, I agree 100%.
She would
say. But I first start off with, who wants somebody who doesn't want them?
Mm. All right.
I mean, isn't that kind of like a self-fulfilling prophecy, you know? Oh, and why would I resent you from saving me from somebody that didn't want me?
Right.
You know, bless you. Leave me.
That's deep. Like, when you really take in what she just said, that's a lot. Mm. That was a period in time right there. That was, whoa. There were so many different things that I thought she was great. And I wanted to see her do so many great things.
Right.
But she just, it was almost like if she let go of something that she had now to get to something else, that she would lose what she had now. And it was just not.
She didn't see it as an enhancement.
Right. She wasn't willing to trade up or even chance trading down.
I think there's a chord there, which is why when people dig their heels in and aren't wanting to look at themselves, at the bottom of that is fear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they would rather know their pain than find their bliss.
Yeah.
The devil, you know. Cynthia, what do you mean when you say pick your time?
Oh, we all have a tendency of going into reaction, which is the creating the moment, is, you know, that time. When we make a break, we can have time to reflect, to introspect, to find out what's going on inside of us neurologically, what's going on, what's firing in my memory.
Okay.
What's firing in my emotions. So if you address an issue right at the moment that it occurs, you're less equipped with all of this wonderful information that is you to address the situation. We usually go into fight or flight. So when something comes up, if we don't stand back for a moment, if we don't pick the time where the person is receptive to receive the information, to discuss the information, if we're throwing at a brick wall, you know, you can tell the person's not there. And then you can even ask them, you know, are you in a space to talk to me about this? And they have to be honest and say yes or no. If you don't pick your time, then all you're doing is repetitive patterns of behavior, mm-hmm. which, you know, is insanity.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Do you ever, I mean, you probably are doing it right now, but do you ever see something in someone that you want to tap into, that you want to tell them about, and you just don't?
Oh, well, you got to respect people's privacy, mm-hmm. even if you can read them in the moment, you mm-hmm. know, unless they ask or unless I ask them, you know, gee whiz, I have some information, would you like to know? No, or I try to pass it on in a constructive, informative way
mm-hmm.
without saying, you know, you got to stop doing this. You know, well, maybe it'd be, it's called reframe. Maybe it'd be in your best interest if you went over here and did this, you know. Mm-hmm. Very casual, because it's an intrusion upon somebody's subconscious. It's an assault unless they ask you.
An intrusion upon someone's subconscious.
Yeah.
You realize how devastating that could be if you do that?
Just I know. In the beginning of time, I was all excited. I was going to go out and save the world and tell everybody who to be and what to be.
Whoa.
That didn't work.
Right. He didn't want to know that. He wasn't ready to hear that, or she wasn't ready to hear that.
That's right. And I got bashed, and I thought, you know, that's pretty insulting to go into somebody's world and, you know, upset it when they didn't invite you in.
Yeah. Right.
Would you go into their house if you weren't invited? Well, I'm from the South, and that pretty much everybody, you know, you got friends, your door's open, they go in, you know, but that doesn't work with somebody's subconscious. It's like, no, knock.
Sometimes people invite you into their subconscious, and you don't want to go.
That's real, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you can politely back out.
Right.
Like, you know, and say, you know, I'm not really ready for this, or, you know, gee whiz, I can see your pain, and perhaps you need to find somebody to work that out with, because I don't feel like I'm in a good space for that, or I'm not the appropriate person for it, or, you know, and I wish you well. Yeah.
I got
The ones that go when they dump everything on you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I had a girlfriend, and she revealed to me, this was so long ago, that she revealed to me that she used to have a intimate relationship with a family member. And that screwed me up. Like, I was like,
voluntarily.
Yeah, she just told me. She told me.
Did you know the family?
Yes, I knew the family member too.
It made you change your whole idea of who they were.
Yeah, it was
who they both were.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was not
cool
fun.
Right.
But you know, sometimes people have to let that kind of stuff go, or they
very true.
But I don't know what the balance is. I mean, you don't want to, when you're with someone, you don't want to tell them you can't share something with me. And at the same time, you do want to cover yourself.
Well, it depends upon if it's your intimate partner,
mm-hmm.
an intimate friend, a casual acquaintance, you know. It also depends upon the relationship, and, you know, can you do the same with them? And it's appropriate in some places, in other places not appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what I'm having.
And again, asking, say, you know, I have some really deep issues on a subject, and can I tell you about them? Versus just open Pandora's box and just let it all out. Mm-hmm. Although at the end of Pandora's box was hope.
Mm-hmm. I just think sometimes it's actually super helpful if people have a committed listener of some kind, whether it's a therapist, a coach, somebody sort of like a neutral party, where you can go with that kind of...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then even if you do share it later, you find that you want to share it later, you share it with a lot less charge on it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you share it in a way that it's a contribution to you both rather than a kind of dumping.
Oh, I agree. When women particularly, they go out and share their relationship problems with other women,
right,
I'm going, you're looking for an answer in the same problem area. They're going to support your problem.
Right.
Outside the box. So, you know, you, absolutely. You know, it's like if you don't have that unbiased, neutral opinion, which most of the time our friends, God bless them,
are not neutral.
Aren't neutral.
Right. We don't pay them to be neutral.
They have an opinion, and their opinion is going to be about their lives and what they do and how they do it, and they want you to conform to their behavior patterns, because then it approves of their behavior patterns.
You're listening to Frank Relationships, and we've been talking to Cynthia Chauvin Miles. She is a hypnotherapist and Intuit. Would you say Intuit?
Intuitive.
Okay.
Intuitive.
Intuitive.
Yeah.
Cynthia, one more time. Would you tell us what you're up to and how we can find you?
You can find me at nationalhypnosis.com or Cynthia Chauvin, CHAUVIN.com. Telephone number 703-948-0619. And what we're up to is to empower the individual with their own resources to create change that they desire in their world in the fashion in which they'd like to live.
Along today's journey, we've discussed addictions, beginnings, and how we find hypnosis, and the power and the recognition of positive intent.
Oh, okay.
Thank you to my co-host, Nancy. Thanks to Jeff Newman, my engineer. And thank you to my guest, Cynthia Chauvin Miles. You've been great. I hope you've had as much fun as I've had hanging out with today's ensemble. As always, it's my wish for you to walk away from this conversation with a heaping helping of useful information that'll help you create a relationship that's as loving and accepting as possible. Let us know what you thought of today's show at Facebook.com/RelationshipFLove, on Twitter at Mr. That's M-R Frank Love, or at franklove.com. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, make sure you like us there, and if via iTunes, make sure you subscribe so that you can receive each week's show. This is Frank Love.